for our devotion today comes from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Prove it. How often are we confronted with that thought, whether in political life, where people make accusations on one side or another, in the world of sports, where people challenge the other team or the other competitor and see if they'll back up their boasting, in academia, where proof and evidence is required for the arguments that are made, so they are substantiated, in legal matters, where proof is necessary to obtain a conviction or to settle a case. Even in our personal lives, we have that same standard. Proof or evidence is always required. The evidence that's presented needs to be cogent and clear and compelling. When it comes to providing evidence, people often knock the church for this, and they say that the church teaches a blind faith. That's what people assume, as if merely because someone says something, therefore we believe it, like blind sheep, without brains or ability to discern, no reason, no logic involved. We are simply robots or drones, people imply, or they outright say. Our obedience and our thinking is unquestioned, and there's no problem, people say, with us simply swallowing something because someone said so. We're nothing more than victims of propaganda. So it's claimed. Our faith is not without proof or support. For example, take the work of Philip the deacon. He preached Christ to them. He taught that Jesus is both God and man. In one person, two natures, at the same time. That because of that, his life was perfect and holy, lived in your place. His death, his blood shed on the cross, pay for your sins, all of them. That his resurrection from the dead counts for you too. And it proves that his sacrifice was worthwhile in God's eyes, that all sin is paid for, that all who trust in him find forgiveness and peace and joy. This was the message that Philip the deacon preached to the people, and his miracles approved his message. They helped verify the power at work in the word that was present to drive out demons and to heal. The miracles were given by God, done through Philip, in order to substantiate what he said. Our faith has power too. Our faith is based on the power of God's word. Ultimately, it's based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is verifiable proof, incontrovertible evidence. Even Jesus' enemies were forced to admit that he truly did rise from the dead. Jesus' resurrection is the basis of our faith. It's the linchpin. His gospel is the power of salvation. The power that is inherent in the Word creates faith and draws us to him. That's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. God grant that each of us may confess it gladly, to the praise and glory of Jesus Christ, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit is worshipped and praised and glorified, for all eternity. Amen. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.